This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Well, good morning. Good to see you guys. Good morning. You are, there you go. You're out there. I heard you. It's great. Great to have you this morning. Great to be here. I love being part of First Service. I love your worship time. I love your voices. I love your spirit. And it's a great way to start the day, isn't it? Just to be together and really connecting with Christ together and to really learn from Christ together. That's awesome. If you have your message notes, take those out. This is week 5 in our series that we're calling Step by Step, a how-to guide to day-to-day spirit-led living. What does the spirit do in our life? What's he working in our life? How is he transforming us in our life? And that's what we're talking about. If you have your app, it's another way to pull that up and kind of take notes and just kind of follow along as we go. And as we get started, this is week 5. If you've missed any of those, you can probably find those in our podcast, either on our app or on the website, and then kind of catch up because it's been a weekly thing that we've been working on, really explaining some scripture, and we want to continue to do that. As most of you know, I was not a pastor to begin with. I was a school teacher. I taught for about 13 years, and then I went, felt God's call to go to seminary. Went to seminary, and I began there really just to discover what God's plan was for my life. And as I began to pursue that, the very first thing I had to do out of seminary was a funeral service for a good friend of mine's grandmother, whom I did not know. And so what I did was I gathered the family together, and I said, just tell me stories about her. Just tell me who she was. Tell me some important things in her life. Who was she to you? And they began to share their stories. And what I did that during that time was I did what's called a eulogy. You may have given a eulogy before. A eulogy simply means good words. It's a Greek word. Eu means good. Ology is word. It's a good word spoken about a person. So we share those stories about who they were, what they were about. And we usually will share those stories that explain those things, that they're good stories about them. 2 months later, I did the funeral for her husband, who I did know. And that was a little tougher because Gary was a good friend of mine, somebody I hung out with, somebody I knew, and he died suddenly in the night. He was out walking the dog. He entered the house. They don't know exactly what happened, but probably a massive heart attack, and she found him there like that. And we had to do a funeral service for him, and his kind of a criteria that she wanted to have was everybody had to wear jeans, and they had to wear either cowboy boots or tennis shoes. That was the kind of guy Gary was. And so what I did again is I sat down with a family and I said, tell me the stories. Tell me the stories. What did you love about him? Who was he to you? Tell me the good stories. And that's really what we're doing. If you think about it, if you really think about it, those people wrote their own stories. They did. Every day that they were alive, everything that they said, everything they did, they were writing their own eulogies in their life. We do the same thing, don't we? Because people are watching us. And they're thinking about us and they're thinking about who you are. They're thinking what you're about, and they're watching those things that you do, some of the just day-to-day stuff, and they go, that's the story they tell. The other night, we were at Reagan High School, and Brad Royal, the principal, was there, and he kind of was addressing some of the students, and he said this to them. He said, look, they won't remember what you do. They'll remember who you were. They'll remember your character, and they'll remember how you treated people. And I think that's so important, isn't it? Isn't that how you remember people? How they treated others. How they treated others. For those of us that are Christ followers, here's the deal with us. We have a testimony, right? What's a testimony? It's the story of what God did in our life. And a eulogy is when someone shares our testimony for us. When they talk about how you followed Jesus and how he affected you and how you live for him. And that's exactly what happens. And right now, you are writing your testimony. The person you are and the character that you have. And you're explaining that in your words and your actions, the good stuff. In our series, we're in what we've called the fruit of the Spirit. It's what the fruit of what the Spirit does in our life. It's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's a verse I hope that you're looking at and kind of studying. We're going to put it on the screen, and you might want to look this up. It's in your outline. This is the fruit of the Spirit is love. Don't you want to be known as a person who loved deeply and fully? Joy. Don't you want to be known as a person full of joy? How about peace? A person of peace. You're okay with self and you're okay with the world. A person of patience. A person that's kind. A person that's good. A person that's faithful. A person that's gentle. And a person that has self-control. They are the characteristics of what the Spirit does in our life when we walk with him. He is building those things. And today we're going to focus on three of those qualities, and they're interesting qualities. They're very, very similar in the Greek. Those words are interchangeable. You'll read one version of the scriptures, the translation. It'll switch these words around sometime, but the three words we're going to look at are simple words. It's the word kindness and the word goodness and the word gentleness. Now, when I read those words, I thought those words are a little bit soft, okay? They're not words that inspire me when I read them. It's not things that I read about and go, oh, I'm really excited about that. I don't know how you are. It's like, okay, that person is good. That person is kind. That person is gentle. I mean, it just doesn't capture my attention, and maybe it doesn't yours either. The kind of low-key words, aren't they? The kind of down in the daily life kind of words, but they're important words. I don't know if you knew it or not, but Tom Hanks is coming out with a movie very shortly. I don't know if you've seen this or not. He's playing Mr. Rogers, okay? And some people are saying it's just a movie. He's just playing himself because Mr. Rogers was a nice guy. And it's interesting, as I read this article in New York Times, the author of the article said this. He almost apologized. He said, I couldn't find any conflict in Tom Hanks. I couldn't find any deep, dark secrets about his life. I can't talk about how mean he was. I can't talk about any of these things. He was just kind. He was just a kind guy. And then he began to tell stories about Tom Hanks and his kindness. Like Tom Hanks, I guess, was walking by, and these girls were selling Girl Scout cookies. He stopped and bought the girls cookies. He gave them a tip. And then he stood there for several hours taking selfies with people who would come up so they could sell all the stuff that they had. And he just did that. He just did that. One time he was filming a movie in Rome. And while he was there, they were out in this area, and there was a chapel right behind them. And as they were filming it, all the crew was there and everybody was coming to see him. And this couple came to be married, and she was in her wedding gown and he was all dressed up, and they couldn't get through the crowd. They couldn't get through the film crew. So he stopped everything. Tom Hanks said, stop. He went to the couple and he took their hand and he walked them into the chapel, and he was part of their wedding. I mean, just a kind guy, just a nice guy. It went down to really basic stuff. One of his aides, one of the people that works for him, said that one time they were driving in a car. And he turned around, he was in the front seat, and turned around and she was green because she was car sick. He made him stop the car and he switched places and said, you sit in the front. It's just little tiny things like that. At the end of the article, the author said, all I could find were kind things. All I could find about him were nice things. And I listened to that, I go, yeah, even in our own world, sometimes we go, there aren't great qualities. They're good qualities, but they're not writable qualities. They're not things you would write home about, right? And then I read a passage about Jesus. Jesus said this about himself in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. He says this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Luke and I don't talk about what he's going to pray about. And I was sitting there listening as he was praying, and he was praying those verses. And it's cool how the Holy Spirit just moves that way. And sometimes he connects things. And as I read the words of Jesus, he's just kind to us. As Luke prayed, if you came here today and you're just experiencing life and you're struggling with some stuff, Jesus says, come to me and I'll take care of you. I'm gentle. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm here for you. I'm going to make it all right. And that's the kind of person Jesus is. He doesn't hold you at arm's length. He doesn't make things happen in your life that aren't for your good. He is there for you at whatever place you are. Whatever you came in here with today, Jesus says, come, come to me. The more broken you are, the better, because I can help you and I can give you rest. See, in the life of Jesus, kindness is powerful. In the life of Jesus, goodness is a strength. In the life of Jesus, gentleness is world-changing. The gospel writers would look at the life of Jesus and they would write down, what did he do? In a sense, they wrote his eulogy, right? The gospel means good news. It just means good words. And they said, let me tell you some stories of Jesus. And this is what they would tell about him, just simple stuff like in Matthew 8. Matthew knew Jesus, and one day there was a leper, a guy with leprosy, and he was coming around, and he came to Jesus and said, if you're willing, if you want to, you can make me clean. And Jesus said five words to him. I am willing, be clean. And at that moment, he was completely healed. But the thing that happened that really showed kindness is Jesus touched him. And Jesus became unclean by touching him. And in that moment, Jesus said, it's more important for me to take care of you than it is for me to do what I was about doing. It's more important for me to do something kind for you than it is for me to not do social norms. I will go out of my way for people. Matthew told a later story in Matthew 9. He says, look, let me tell you my story. And he kind of hides himself. He says, Levi, which is his other name, was working as a tax collector. He said, I was working as a tax collector. Nobody liked me. I was an outcast. And Jesus stopped and said, you follow me. You be one of my team. You be one of my friends. He was accepting. And then Matthew did something kind of interesting. He said, you come to my house. And Matthew invited all his friends, the people that couldn't show up in good society. They said, come to my house. And Jesus did. I don't know if you've ever had anybody famous come into your house and come and be with you. But can you imagine the stories that Matthew told? Hey, look, Jesus came to my house. And he ate at my table. And he hung out with my friends that no one else would hang out with. Jesus was just kind. He was just kind. Did you know Mark didn't know Jesus? The author of Mark, the book of Mark did not know Jesus personally, they don't think. Maybe at the end, because Mark was much younger. What Mark did was he sat down with Simon Peter and said, tell me the stories of Jesus. Just tell me who he was. And so Simon Peter must have told Mark some stories, including one early on in the book of Mark where one day Jesus came to Simon Peter's house. And Simon Peter's mother-in-law was laying on the bed with a fever and she couldn't get up. And Jesus went in and he healed her. And then Mark puts this little phrase, and he helped her up. Something small, something tiny, he just helped her up. Because of that, she was so moved by his kindness, she got up and it says she served everybody. She just jumped to her feet and said, now I'm gonna extend that kindness to someone else. It impacted her life. And Mark wrote that down and said, just a small thing, but notice that Jesus is kind. Notice how kind he is. In Luke chapter 7, there's a story that Luke included. Luke didn't know Jesus, but the people who did know Jesus and did see him, they went to Luke and they told him the stories. Let me tell you a story. There was a widow, he said. Luke wrote it down. There's this widow and her only son had died, and Jesus saw this funeral group going down the road, and he saw that this woman was alone. She had no one to take care of her. Her son, who was taking care of her, is now dead, and he walked up. And he touched, and Mark's really careful with this language, he touched the bier, the thing that was holding the body, which made him unclean. If you touch something that's dead or connected to it, you're unclean now. And he touched it, and he healed the son and brought him back to life. And then a really important phrase, it said he gave the son back to the mother. Here's your son, and he's going to take care of you. And it doesn't affect anything that Jesus did. He just stopped, went out of his way to help someone else. That's kindness. And then the book of John, if you know the book of John, who did know Jesus, John did know Jesus. In John chapter 2, the very first miracle, you know what the very first miracle was? Jesus went to a wedding. And the wedding host, they ran out of wine. And if you've ever been at a party where they ran out of food or things weren't going well, and the wedding's trash now, it's going to be terrible. So what happened? Mary came to Jesus and said, they're out of wine. And so Jesus turned water into wine, and it was the best. Now, some of you guys go to wine tastings, and you go around. There's a lot of places you go, and you sit down and go, which wine is better? Which one tastes better? And you, know all the things about them. When the head waiter tasted the wine, he said, this is the best. Why did Jesus do that? Why didn't he just give them wine? Give them the cheap stuff, right? What did he do? He said, I'm going to give you the excellent, the most excellent, the very best. Why? Because he was just demonstrating what it meant to be kind. That's Jesus' story. That's what he did. And it was so impactful in their lives. It said, we want to be like Jesus. He said, come and learn from me. Come and learn from me and be like me. So the challenge for us today is go, how do you take the qualities of kindness and goodness and gentleness and live them out in your daily life so that people can see Jesus in you? On our outline today, kind of as we work through, just to give us a way to kind of put this in an order, we're going to talk about four ways to do that, how to learn to be kind, four truths about kindness, goodness, and gentleness, and how we apply them. And it's really simple. Number one, on the first thing we look at, is kindness is what we do. If you're a Christ follower, if you're a follower of Jesus, kindness is what we do. It's what we say. It's what we do in action. It could be really simple things like holding the door for somebody. It could be in our words. It's in every moment. These are not big things, but it's what we do as a lifestyle. It's what we become. We become kindness. Kindness is really about being others-focused, isn't it? You ever been around somebody that's not kind? You know what I'm talking about? What are they? They're self-focused, aren't they? I've got my agenda. I got my things. Here's the words going to come out of my mouth. But a kind person is always thinking about other people. Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind to one another. It's a command. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So that's how we treat people, no matter who they are and how different they are from you and whether you like them or not. Live and be kind. I like the way the Message puts this in context. If you know what the Message is, it's not a translation, it's more of a commentary. This is how the Message puts this in context. It says, watch the way you talk. That's kind of a tough thing. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Now, don't elbow anybody. Don't point anybody. Don't write a note. Don't tell them tomorrow there's a message you need to hear. I'm going to hand you the podcast. You really need to know this. Don't do that. Absorb it for yourself, right? You can think about them for a moment, but say every word, only what helps, each word a gift. And then the writer goes, don't grieve God. What's the context? What's the context? Every time we say things that hurt people, it hurts God. Does that make sense? Because God said, at that moment, you're not listening to my spirit. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Follow the Spirit. And then he writes, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. What does that mean? Complaining, critical talk. He said, get rid of that. Be gentle with one another. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Now I'm starting to see that kindness is not a weak thing. Kindness is an incredibly powerful thing if we learn to speak with kindness. Now, I don't know if you guys knew it or not, but you know that November 13th is Kindness Day, World Kindness Day. Who celebrated World Kindness Day? Did anybody besides me know it? You guys didn't know it? Did nobody wear, all right, one person, did you wear a cardigan? You were supposed to wear a cardigan that day. I don't own a cardigan, and so I thought, I can't celebrate World Kindness Day. I can't be kind today because I don't own a cardigan. I don't know why a cardigan. I think it's because Mr. Rogers wore a cardigan, but you didn't know that it's World Kindness Day. Man, the whole world was supposed to stop and be kind. But I don't know if you did or not, but for the Christ Father, we do that. Now, there were some cool little things that they put out to kind of help us be kind. I think we have some of them on the screen. In a world where you can be anything, be kind. Isn't that sweet? I like that, all right? If we're going to grow up, don't worry what career you're going to be. Just be kind. That's a cool thing. We have the next one. There's no such thing as a small act of kindness. Every act creates a ripple with no logical end. That's what Jesus did. He, like, dropped the pebble in the waters, and it's been going out for 2,000 years. If we follow Jesus, we're kind. Third one, make kindness the norm. Make it everyday living. That's a great thing to think about. Every day, every interaction, how can I be kind? How can I help you at this moment? What small thing can I do to help you and just to be kind? Now, they gave 7 kind of hints. If you don't know how to be kind, here's 7 things they suggested we could do. Number one, send an uplifting text to a friend or family member. You could even do it right now. Hey, I miss you. I'm thinking about you. Don't say anything about football today. But you could just write something. Go, hey, I really appreciate what you did. Number two, let that guy merge into traffic with a smile and a wave, all right? And not the one finger wave that's not appropriate, okay? But the real wave where you just say, come on in. Come on in right now. Some of you guys are going, no way. I have a line where I draw, and I'm not going to cross that one. Number three, include intentional moments of kindness, laughter, and delight into your daily routine. How about that? Number four, go slightly. That was their words. Go slightly out of your comfort zone at least once a day to make someone smile. Jesus went way out of his way, all right? That's kind of a low bar, but most of us could do that. Share a compliment with a coworker or friend. Wow, would that blow somebody's socks off if you were to do that? Hey, I just want to tell you, I think you're doing a good job. Number six, reach out to a family member who you haven't spoken to in a while. Somebody has to take the first step, right? Have you ever waited for someone to take the first step and they don't do it? You be that person. Treat someone to a cup of coffee, a friend, stranger, and I like this, even yourself. I don't know where they came up with that one, okay? But that's what they said. Treat them to a cup of coffee or something. In our world right now, we're in a very divisive world, aren't we? Very divisive world. There is more cutting of people than I think I've ever seen in my life. There's more rancor. There's just a sense of meanness in our culture. And what Jesus is doing, I think, when he says, be kind, he said, I want you to be different. I want you to shine a light in this world so people can see something different. Because if you're just equally back, if we're just equally back as critical and as mean and as bitter, then it doesn't help. But he said, you be different. You be different. So kindness is what we do. Number two, the second thing is goodness is why we do what we do. If kindness is what we do, then why do we do it? Because of goodness. Goodness is why we do what we do. Why we do it. It flows out of a good person. Goodness is why we do what we do. Matthew 12, 34 and 35, Jesus is speaking. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. It says it's out of your heart. When I was a kid, and some of you may have done the same thing, if I said a bad word, you know what my mom did to me. You know what culture I grew up into. I got soap in the mouth, right? Anybody else have to grow up with that besides me? All right, some of you guys. You have not. That's my son. Oh, once, have you? Okay. Did it work? That's my son, RK. Did good. He's never said a bad word since, all right? In our world, like, my mom would wash my mouth out with soap. And the thing is, you got to get to the heart, though, right? That soap was not getting to my heart. It would get to my mouth, which caused me to say, I don't ever want that again. But she couldn't clean my heart. A lot of times we focus on the outward, don't we? Just change the way you speak. And Jesus is saying, no, you got to have your heart changed. It flows out of your heart. If you have bitterness in your heart, you know what's going to come out of your mouth? Bitterness. If you have anger in your heart, you know what's going to come out? Anger. If you have hate in your heart, hate is going to come out. If you have racism in your heart, racism is going to come out. Jesus said you can't just try to stop it. It will come out sometimes. And we're all sinners and we're all going to fail in some areas. And when it does, we have to ask and confess. We have to ask for forgiveness. But he said, what's in your heart? That's where it starts. If you have that and you're noticing it in your life, you go, God, I got to have my heart changed because I can't do it myself. It's a matter of the heart. When you go to the doctor sometimes, they run an EKG, right? If you've ever had that before. What's the EKG? Here's your heartbeat. Here's your heartbeat. You know what scripture is? It's an EKG for your heart. You look at the scripture and it says, be kind. Is my heart beating with that? It says, speak words of kindness. Is my heart beating with that? Get rid of racism. Is my heart beating with that? Get rid of rancor, angerness, bitterness. Is my heart beating that way? And if it's not, you need the Holy Spirit to work in you. Our key verse for this whole series is Galatians 5:25. And part of what I'm doing every week is trying to find a different way to say it. You ever been teaching? You're going, I think you have a different way. So I'm going to use the Amplified version this week. I love it. If we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit, and I love this part, with personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage, our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's the difference between religion and relationship. Religion is you do the right thing. Relationship is you say, God, you got to do the right thing through me, through your Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes and changes us. That's what walking by the Spirit is all about, letting the Spirit work and letting that happen in your life to be a good person. You have to have a good heart, and to have a good heart, you've got to have the Spirit at work. Number three, if kindness is what we do and goodness is why we do it, number three, gentleness is how we do what we do. Gentleness is how we do what we do. Gentleness is one of those interesting words. Again, it's not, you don't think of that as being a great quality. I just don't. I maybe it just doesn't resonate with me at first, and I go, okay, why is the Holy Spirit working to make me more gentle? Well, here's some definitions. Gentleness is the quality of being kind. All right, we know that. Tender or mild-mannered. Focus on the Family defines it this way. It's a strong hand with a soft touch. When do we have to be gentle? When you're holding a baby, you've got to be gentle. When a baby's first born, people go, do you want to hold it? And I always go, I don't know if I do or not. Not that I don't love your baby, but if something happens, it's on me. Can I be that gentle and just hold that tiny little baby? You ever had to carry something that's very breakable? And he's just like, hold it, don't come near me. Got to be careful. When I was in fourth grade, I was riding my bike and I was doing something stupid, all right? I was with my brother's friends. They were older. I thought I could show off. So I thought I could ride my bicycle with my feet on the handlebars, all right? It doesn't work. Don't try it. Learn from my experience. So I put my feet on the handlebars and I hit a rock and I went over the handlebars and landed on my arm and my face, all right? Now, people were more concerned about my face. I don't know why, but anyway, they were kind of scratched up. But I broke my arm. And if you ever broke anything, what do? You hold it. and you say, don't touch me, I'll kill you, right? I'll kill you if you touch me because it hurts so bad, I don't want to move. You get in the car and you just sit there and go, don't hit a bump, don't go above 25 miles an hour, I just want it held. Now, my dad was a doctor, but he wasn't the hospital that day. Someone else did it, and the doctor looked at me and he goes, I got to hold your arm. I go, no, I don't want you to touch my arm. And he says, I got to x-ray it. I go, I don't want you to touch my arm. And he was so gentle. And he took my arm, and he, like, moved it out, and he put it up on that x-ray thing. You ever done that before? And he's like, oh, don't do anything. And they click that little thing, and they come back and go, no, it's broken. You got to have a cast. So he came, and it was that kind of fiberglass stuff, you know, and so he's holding it, he's holding my fingers, and he's wrapping that thing around, and the whole time he's talking to me. Why? Because he knew I was scared, I was a lot of pain, right? So he wrapped that thing up, and now it felt better. Now it was immobile, and now I could, like, go, I can actually hit people with this in the fourth grade, because I have a cast, right? It was a positive thing, because I can't feel anything. But when something's broken, you want people to be gentle. We live in a world of broken people. You ever think about that? You ever come across somebody just really got a tough story, and you look at them and go, I think there's something wrong with that person. And you think in your mind, what's wrong with you? Why do you act that way? How did you end up in that place? Sometimes in our culture, we look at people that are needy, that are under-resourced, and we go, what happened to you? What choices did you make? Why did you end up in this place? What happened? What did you do? And we start to blame. And then the different way to look at it, go, what happened to you in the sense of something outside of yourself? Now, sometimes we make bad choices, right? Putting your feet on the handlebars is a bad choice. Sometimes people make bad choices, but other times things happen to them. And they come into our life and they're broken and they're just asking us to be gentle. Be careful with me. I'm broken. I may snap at you because you're touching a place that hurts. Be careful with me because of something just happened in my family. And maybe I can't share it with you right now, but can you be gentle in your words? Kid comes into your life and they've just got a really tough home life. You go, why are you like that? Instead, you look at them and go, what happened in your family? I see some brokenness. Can I speak to you in gentle terms so that you're feeling okay? I think that's exactly what Jesus did. Almost everybody that came to Jesus was broken in some way. And he was just gentle with them, just so gentle. Colossians 3:12 says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I think sometimes we're more worried about what we wear than what qualities we put on, right? I want to be known for wearing a certain kind of clothes. You can watch me. I don't care what I wear. You probably notice I wear sort of the same thing every week. That's my church clothes, right? I kind of wish I wore a robe. Remember how people used to wear robes? Then I could wear whatever I want to and just put a robe on. Then at the end of the day, I could take it off. I like that idea. But you guys are so kind, you let me wear whatever. And if I wear the same thing 3 or 4 weeks, you're okay with that, right? But if I didn't put on compassion, if I didn't put on gentleness, if I was not kind to you, that would bother you, wouldn't it? It would bother us. And so what the scriptures tell us is every day, put these qualities on. Put on gentleness. Put on humility. Put on patience. Your clothes speak, but your character speaks louder. That's what people notice. Philippians 4:5, Paul writes, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. He said, I want you to be famous. I want you to be famous. But here's what I want you to be famous for being gentle. I want you to be famous for being gentle. You know what he's saying to Bridges Church? I want you to be famous for being gentle. I want you to be a place where people can come in, all kinds of lifestyles, all kinds of brokenness, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of questions, all kinds of places where they came from. And I want this church, he's saying, to be gentle with them. They belong to me. I created them. I love them. You represent me. You're supposed to be like Jesus. Treat them as Jesus would. Find out their stories. Find out what's going on in their life. Listen to them. Love them. Make sure that they're okay. Welcome them. Make sure you don't, like, say, that's my pew. All right, now we have pews. We didn't have pews before. Don't say, this is my pew. Let them sit down, okay? Don't get, like, move around. Can you guys do that from now on? Just, I mean, you don't have to move far, but just don't have a set place, because then when someone comes in and go, okay, that's great. I'm glad you're here. What's your story? What's your story? And then people will talk about, that person's kind. That person's gentle. That person's good. The last kind of truth here, number 4, and kind of put all this together and wrap it up, is that kindness, goodness, and gentleness are what love looks like lived out. kindness, goodness, and gentleness are what love looks like lived out. And Jesus said there's nothing more important in the world than love. It's the absolute most important thing. And if you want to know what it looks like, it's not some huge gesture. It's not some earth-shattering thing. It's daily kindness. It's daily goodness. It's daily gentleness. I love how the scriptures kind of point this out. Jesus is dealing with an expert of the law, is dealing with a lawyer one day, and the lawyer says, how can I inherit eternal life? What can I do to be saved? And Jesus said, you tell me, you know the scriptures. You have a head full of biblical knowledge, which a lot of Christians do. They know the Bible really well. What do you think? And the guy searched the Old Testament in his mind. He goes, well, this is what I think. I think you're supposed to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I think you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you got it. You figured it out. And then the lawyer said, well, I'm not sure about this. Who's really my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? I think what he's doing is drawing the line. Is it a person just lives next to me? Is that okay? Or is it just the people like me? And so he's testing Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? And what did Jesus do? He told a parable. He told a story, right? We talked about parables, the story and the truth. And what was the parable he told? You guys know, right? The Good Samaritan. Simple story. Jesus said there was a guy who was traveling down the road. He was going from Jericho down to Jerusalem. He was making this path. And on the path, he got robbed. And he got beaten. He was stripped. And he was left for dead. And the priest who came down the road looked at him. Now, the priest represents God, right? In their culture, the priest was a person that stood between them and God, just like Christ followers. And the priest looked at him, kind of paid attention to him for a moment, and then he went to the other side of the road. Now, in his mind, he's probably thinking, I don't have time for this. If I touch this guy and he's bloody, I'm going to be unclean. I'm going to be late for work. I can't do this. So he just kept going. And then a Levite came. A Levite was a servant, a person who's supposed to serve people. And he saw him, and what did he do? He went to the other side of the road. He said, I'm not going to help this guy. And he just kept going. And then a Samaritan came. This is the genius of Jesus. Why pick a Samaritan? If you've ever heard this story before, you know what a Samaritan was, right? It was a person the Jews hated. It was a racial thing. The Samaritans were a different race than the Jews. To the Jew, he would say, as a Samaritan, I'd rather be a dog than to be you. That was their mindset. And Jesus made the Samaritan the hero of the story. The Samaritan comes and he sees the guy laying on the road. He gets off his donkey. He crosses over to the other side. He sees him. He takes out oil and wine, the wine to disinfect the wound, the oil to kind of soothe it. And he said he bandaged him. Now, did he carry bandages wherever he went? Was it like an ambulance? Probably not. He probably took his own clothes and made bandages out of them. And then he took the guy and he says, you ride on my donkey. I'll walk. I'll walk. And he took him to an inn. He said to the innkeeper, I have to go. You take care of him. Here's some extra money. I'll come back and I'll pay you the difference if you'll just take care of him. And Jesus said to the man, the lawyer, he says, who was the neighbor? Who was the neighbor? And the man was kind of defeated, right? How do you defeat that story? And he says, well, the guy who showed mercy. And Jesus then said in the verse that follows, he says this, and it's something to all of us. Luke 10:37, you go and do likewise. You go and do likewise. You live it. You be kind. You do what I just told you to do. Now, probably in your day-to-day, you're not going to run across someone on the side of the road that was in an accident. You might. But if you do, you stop and you help. What you're probably going to face is the same thing I'm going to face. You're going to find someone who's a little bit broken in your world. A brother, a sister, a family member that you haven't talked to in a while. Maybe some animosity between you, some tension between you, and you're going to have a chance to either text them or call them and say, hey, I just want to check on you. How are you doing? You're going to run into somebody at the grocery store, and you're going to see them, and they're going to have trouble with their cart. They're going to have trouble doing something. You have a choice to make. Can I go and do likewise? Can I help them? You're going to run into all kinds of people, and every chance we get, how can I be kind? How can I be gentle? How can I do what they need to do? It's not about giving everybody their wants. It's showing them the love of Christ. You know, as we kind of wrap this up, I look at these qualities again as a tough thing. I mean, kindness. I want something bigger. I want something bigger than kind, you know. I want earth-shattering. I want something bigger than goodness. I want something bigger than gentleness. And Jesus said they're the most important because that's day-to-day living by the Spirit step by step. So today as we pray, maybe you're that person that came in, you're facing a little bitterness and a little bit of anger in your life. Maybe it's time to give that up to Christ. Maybe you came in today and you're a little bit broken. Life has not treated you well. And some things have happened to you. And maybe it's time to say, Jesus, you told me to come to you, and there I'll find rest. And I need that. And maybe the rest of us just go, Jesus, change my heart. Because I'm not always kind, and I'm not always good, and I'm not always gentle. But I want to be, because you are. Let's pray together. Father God, in the midst of this, your word is so convicting. It's so powerful. Even in the small things, you just speak. So I pray today that anyone that came in today that's just dealing with some things in their heart that they need to give up to you, because it keeps them from living out the freedom that we find in Christ, and the freedom is expressed in these words that we found. So I pray for healing in their heart. Pray for transformation. We pray against cynicism. We pray against complaining. We pray against snarky attitudes and bad attitudes. We pray for hearts that are just full of self, and we ask for the freedom to unlock those, Father, as your spirit works. I pray for anyone that came in today that is just experiencing brokenness. That's a tough thing to face, Father God, is a broken relationship, a broken dream, finances, health issues, discouragement. And I pray in the midst of this time of prayer that we're going to find hope and rest in Jesus. He offers rest for our souls. May they find that today, no matter what they may be experiencing. And for the majority of the day, Father, I just pray for us to be kinder and better and gentler with good hearts, because that's what it takes to represent Jesus, something we really want to do in a world that's just struggling. May we be the people, Father, that bring light into the world and salt in the world. Don't let us look at someone else and say, what about you? Turn your attention to us. Transform us so we can be the people you called us to be. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.